Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Our guest is Rosemary Gladstar. Interestingly enough, a lady who has written a book about herbs and medicinal herbs happens to have the name of Rosemary. Wasn't that fortuitous?
I was named after my grandmother's Rose and Mary.
Really? Okay. Well, that you could have said that, you know, your family looked out the window one day and saw a rosemary bush.
I have to say I felt really lucky getting that name.
Yeah, you know, it could have always been Herb.
Better.
Okay, yeah. All right, listen, you have a wonderful book, which I enjoyed because I love to cook. And not only do I love to cook, but I have a garden and I'm interested in all the things that grow. And your book is called Rosemary Gladstar's Medicinal Herbs, A Beginner's Guide. It's kind of a crowded territory if you go to a store on healing or on medicinal things or even on cooking. What was your incentive at putting this together?
Well, I have written a number of other books, but I wanted to write a book that was a simple introduction because herbalism is at its most powerful as a people's home remedy tradition, and it's very ancient and old, and many of the people in America and other parts of the world have lost that tradition. So it was a matter of trying to want to bring it back to the American public so that they recognize how safe it is and that it's effective and it's cost-effective and it's ecologically sound. And I wanted to bring it in also in a way that makes it really practical for people. So that was really my incentive for this book.
We have a radio station that appeals primarily to an Asian-American audience, primarily Chinese, and all we need to do is walk down the street to one of the Chinatown neighborhoods here in New York, and we see stores after stores of herbal medicines and cures and what have you. Let's address that for a little bit. Tell us what you know of the history and the various cultures that have contributed to putting together a body of work that have created herbal medicines.
Well, excellent. Well, of course, the traditional Chinese medicine is one of the most highly respected systems of healing, and it has over 5,000 years of written history. So that's one of the things that why it's endured so strongly. We also have that in India as well. They have over, it's called Ayurvedic healing, the system that comes from India, and it also has a 5,000-year written history. Our North American tradition, it was oral from the native tribes here, and unfortunately much of what was known was lost. But, and so the traditional Chinese medicine is highly recognized in this country, and actually you can legally practice traditional Chinese medicine, which is amazing.
Tell me about, in your estimation, in your experience, what would be the top two or three Chinese herbal medications that are most widely used?
Well, definitely ginseng. I mean, ginseng is renowned, and even American ginseng, which is considered one of the most costly and one of the best ginsengs in the world, has been imported into or exported from the United States to China since the 1700s, believe it or not. It's still considered one of the most valuable ginsengs. But ginseng is used as an adaptogenic or tonic, and it's used to restore health and vitality. Historically, ginseng was used primarily by men, but that had more to do with the Chinese culture than anything else. It's absolutely excellent for women as well. So, and then they call superior medicine, and those herbs that were meant to be used over long periods of time with no harmful side effects. That's very different than our modern medicine, you know, where the superior medicine in our modern or allopathic system is really, really strong medicine that often has a lot of side effects. But another one of those herbs that I love so much is Sazandra. It's a little berry that actually can very easily be grown in the United States. It's sold in nurseries as magnolia vine, and Sazandra is another wonderful tonic for the system. I'm not as familiar with the patented herbal medicines that come over from China, and I actually don't really recommend those unless you're working specifically with a Chinese herbalist or a doctor who knows the Chinese medicine, because we don't have really good regulations for those patented medicines, and that's one of the issues about public safety with herbal medicines. It's not so much from the products that are made in this country as imported products. So,
one of the things I've noticed has been a burgeoning amount of herbs that are being incorporated into teas for drinking. Is that because that's maybe the most palatable way to ingest some sort of herbal medications?
Well, yes. You know, it's interesting with teas. I'm so happy to see teas becoming popular again, as you mentioned. It's not the strongest way to use herbs, but it's certainly the most user-friendly. You know, water is safe. It's benign. And water kind of addresses, water in itself, especially if you're getting good water, can be very healing. Many of the issues that people have is from lack of water, hydration. So drinking tea is a wonderful way to bring water into the system, and it's also a very good way as a solvent to extract many of the medicinal properties. But when people want really potent medicine, they oftentimes will take them as tinctures or even capsules. So we have various ways that people can ingest herbs. It's really what works the best for them and what might be called for at specific times. But I love the aspect of making tea because it sort of involves people in the ritual of caring for themselves. You know, they boil the water, they add the herb, they sit down and they have a cup of tea. I had a friend once said, you can make a miracle simply by drinking a cup of chamomile tea. Of course, she was just referring to the whole energetics of sitting down, making tea, sitting down, drinking it, and then the herbs themselves, of course.
Well, in the Chinese culture, the tea ceremony is one of the most serene of all things, so it's logical that it takes the mind along with the body.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. You know, I wish that we had more of those tea ceremonies because it is all about, especially in the Asian cultures in Japan and China, that the tea ceremony is about being present, being calm, everything becomes quiet. And, you know, in our American culture, where we're really quite, I always call our culture is like a type A, you know, quite driven culture of success and succeeding. And we're the coffee culture, which I have to laugh and think we would probably function much better on less stimulants and more nerving plants that calm us.
Which gets us to the time of year. We've just come through the summer months. We're now in fall and we're heading into winter. That is always a time for some illnesses to pop up, the common cold, the flu, the logical things that go along with being stuck inside, and artificial heating and such. So how can people prep themselves as we head into the winter season? Is there any sort of preemptory herbal sustenance that they can use that might get them ready for the season coming?
Well, you know, some of our most common culinaries are the perfect herbs for right now. Herbs like ginger, which again is a very popular traditional Chinese medicine plant. Ginger is very warming, it's very decongesting for the bronchioles, very good for the digestion, also good for the reproductive system. And it warms the system. So just drinking like warm ginger tea can be very preventative, a good preventative. And then garlic, which is your poor man's penicillin, has been termed for centuries. You know, it has antimicrobial, antibacterial, and it's a broad spectrum antimicrobial as well. So it's a really good, or antiviral, I meant. It's very good at helping to prevent flus and colds from coming on. And also horseradish, or wasabi in the Asian community. Both of those herbs, they're root herbs, and they're really warming to the system. And I know nothing better for sinus headaches and sinus infections, and also deep bronchial infections. So all of those herbs help to warm the system. And one of the things with the colds and flus, of course, is we get damp and cold in winter. So we want to be using warming foods. For people who have really hot constitutions, which means that they have a lot of fire in their body, and that's usually, you could see really rooty skin, hot skin, or they have hypertension, or they anger easily. Those hot, warming herbs may not be indicated for them, but for most of us, they're really excellent during the cold and flu season.
In the remaining moments that we have, is there a miracle little plant or something that somebody could put in a window box or in their apartment and grow and add to food or eat now and then that maybe is a best-kept secret?
Well, you know, any of those culinaries like thyme and sage, and a little parsley, all of those are incredibly easy to grow in window boxes. You just have to have a lot of sun. They require sun. And they, you know, they add a wonderful flavor into our food. But when you take sage and you drink a cup of that, that's so good for colds. It's really grounding and great for the nervous system. And the same with thyme. I mean, thyme, our common garden thyme has so many antibacterial properties in it. It's amazing. So just even those culinary, just simple herbs, you can buy them at any little grocery store. Sometimes just at, you know, supermarkets and stuff, they sell them. Put them in a nice soil, put them in a sunny window, get some nice pots to grow in. They look beautiful, they'll grow through the winter, and you can just use them for health and healing.
The book is a very easy read. It's really nicely put together. You also include some recipes on how to conjure up some good things. And you've got definitions. You've got great photographs. It's really a very nice work. I hope you have great luck with it, Rosemary.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
If people want more information about you or about your book, could you direct them as to where they might look?
Well, I have a website they can go to. It's sagemountain.com. And it has information on my other books and programs and also my correspondence course, which is really good for people who want to learn more about plants. So, yeah.
Well, our guest this week on Spectrum has been Rosemary Gladstar, and she's the author of Medicinal Herbs, A Beginner's Guide. It's a great book. Rosemary, safe travels, and we hope to speak to you again on China America Radio.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's been a delight.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinamericaradio.com.